Gradually fading from black, our view drifts above an endless stretch of puffy white clouds.
One small fact. You are going to die. Despite every effort, no one lives forever.
We sink through one layer of thick clouds, then skim the surface of another.
Sorry to be such a spoiler. My advice is, when the time comes, don't panic. It doesn't seem to help.
Our altitude declines over a wintry landscape where a passenger train ambles along snow-covered tracks. A thick stream of smoke billows from the engine car's chimney, mixed in with sparse evergreens, leafless trees dot the otherwise stark countryside.
I guess I should introduce myself properly. But then again, you'll meet me soon enough. Not before your time, of course. I make it a policy to avoid the living.
As we descend over the early 20th century style train, its dense trail of smoke consumes our view. Inside a car, passengers in heavy wool clothing fill the seats. Some sleep against their luggage or each other.
Well, except sometimes. Once in a very long time, I can't help myself. I get interested.
We drift to a young girl with chin-length curly blonde hair, seated beside a woman cradling a boy.
I don't know exactly what it was about Liesl Memminger.
Liesl stares at the floor.
But she caught me.
The fair-skinned girl's eyes widen as she turns to face the dark-haired boy.
Mama.
Blood runs from the boy's nostril.
And I cared.
We soar through the chimney smoke to a snow-covered cemetery. Liesl and her mother stand with two men and a priest over an open grave. The priest closes his Bible and faces them. Subtitles.
Möchten Sie noch etwas sagen?
Do you want to say a few words? The grieving mother looks off, then faces her young son's blanketed corpse.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye, my darling. The gravediggers lift the boy's body and lay him in the shallow grave. Looking away, the mournful mother wipes her nose, then walks off. Liesl remains in place as they begin to bury her brother. A thin, leather-bound book drops from a gravedigger's coat, landing in a small pile of smoldering coals beside the grave. Liesl retrieves the book with her mittened hand, then regards her brother sadly. Turning away, she follows her mother and the priest out of the cemetery. Fade to white. Now, two German words get written in elegant, cursive penmanship. Die Bucherdieben. The words gradually fade into an English title, The Book Thief. Words appear. Germany, February 1938. An old-style car cruises along a country road obscured by a thick layer of snow. Riding in the back seat, Liesl solemnly gazes at a wallet-sized photo of her late brother. A thick-browed woman regards her sadly from the passenger seat.
She would have kept you if she could have. You know that, don't you?
Liesl looks down. From overhead, they travel on a cleared stretch of road. Now, thick snowflakes fall as they drive through a small town. Warmly dressed citizens move about the snow-dusted cobblestone main street. Shops line the sidewalk. The driver takes a slow turn and parks on a small side street.
Here we are. Come, Liesl. Meet your new parents.
The woman looks back at Liesl.
Come.
She approaches a middle-aged couple.
Hans Huberman.
Heinrich.
She shakes their hands.
Heinrich.
Hans approaches the car and peers inside. With a kind smile, the aging, large-nosed man gives Liesl a friendly wave. The young girl lowers her reserved gaze. As Hans steps away, his pale, flinty wife hands over her umbrella and approaches the car. The dark-haired woman leans inside, then faces Heinrich with a tense scowl.
Where is the boy? He died.
What do you mean?
On the way here. They had to bury him by the tracks. They promised us two children with two allowances.
Rosa, you cannot blame the boy for dying.
No, I blame his mother, dragging them across the country unfed and washed.
She was running for her life.
Have you seen that girl? Filthy. Everything they say about communists is true, dirty and stupid.
Shh.
I'll speak as loud as I want.
A group of children play soccer nearby. Rosa moves back to the car.
Come.
The frightened girl shifts uncomfortably.
Come. What is the matter with her?
Hans steps past his cold-hearted wife. Leaning into the car, he extends a hand.
Your Majesty.
A cryptic expression remains on Liesl's angelic face. Leaning forward, she takes Hans' hand and exits the car. A slender blonde boy gazes at the new arrival.
What are you brats looking at? Saukerle.
This is Heaven Street. Your new home.
Hey, lover boy!
Can we get on with the game now?
The blonde boy rejoins his friends as Hans leads Liesl into a modest home.
Please, go in.
Liesl slowly proceeds into the colorless kitchen. A small table fills its center. Soft light enters from windows above the deep-set sink. Drying laundry and neatly arranged utensils hang over the stove. Beside it lies a wooden bureau with curtained glass cupboards on top. Stairs lead to a second floor. Tying her apron, Rosa enters and offers a sugar cube to the young girl.
Well, go on.
As Liesl reaches for the cube, Rosa closes her fist around it.
What do you say?
Liesl stares at the imposing woman.
They have given us a mute.
Rosa marches away.
Go upstairs.
Hans follows Liesl. In a drab bedroom, Hans unpacks clothing onto an empty twin bed as Liesl timidly sits on the far corner of a second bed. Closing a small suitcase, he presents Liesl with a sugar cube with his right hand, then places both hands flat against the lid.
Where is it?
The bashful girl points to his right hand.
That one?
He lifts the hand, showing no sugar cube, then reveals the treat beneath the other. Liesl smiles, and the kind-hearted man slides the cube closer.
It's for you.
She regards him with a grin, then leans forward and collects the sugar.
Ja, my sunshine.
Hans starts toward the stairs. Stopping at the top, he glances back at the reticent girl. Liesl regards the sugar cube. At night, a man walks his bike down the quiet, darkened street. Snow covers the slanted roofs of the dwellings. Holding the gravedigger's book on her stomach, Liesl regards the empty bed beside her with a sad gaze. The young girl rolls her head along the pillow and closes her eyes. Hans listens from the stairs. In the morning, Hans sits in the kitchen playing an accordion as Liesl arrives on the stairs.
Good morning, Your Majesty.
With a slight smile, Liesl moves to the kitchen table where Rosa stands over a pulled-out chair.
Would you stop that racket?
Liesl takes a seat and Rosa moves to the stove. Smiling at Liesl, Hans stretches the accordion. He stands and leaves the room. Rosa places a bowl before Liesl.
What do you say?
Thank you.
It speaks.
Hans returns and takes a seat.
Now, listen, from now on you call me Mama, yeah?
Liesl softly nods.
Say it.
Mama.
Good. And that Saukerl, that lazy pig over there, you call him Papa, understood?
Papa.
Hans winks at Liesl as Rosa serves him a bowl.
Who is that? Who is it?
Rudi Steiner, Frau Hubermann.
What do you want?
My mother says you've got a daughter now.
No. What's it to you?
I'm here to take her to school.
Why can't people ever mind their own business?
Hello, Rudi.
Hello.
Opening the door, Rosa sternly eyes the blonde boy.
And what makes you think that you are good enough for my daughter?
Hans whispers to Liesl.
I'm almost 12.
Liesl, eat your soup and go and get dressed. Stay outside, you filthy Saukerl.
Rudi backs away from the hard-nosed woman.
Hurry up, Liesl!
Liesl slowly slurps a spoonful of soup. Now, in winter coat and mittens, she walks with Rudi.
You like to run?
Liesl shrugs as he bounces a soccer ball.
I bet I could beat you. No one's ever beaten me in a race.
He He continues bouncing the brown leather ball as they walk through town. Liesl stares ahead.
You don't say much, do you?
Liesl spits in the snow.
Is that one spit yes and two spits no?
She spits again.
I'm glad we understand each other. My mother didn't really tell me to come and get you.
A balding man exits a shop.
I just thought you might need a friend.
Liesl smiles. Rudy kicks his soccer ball into a covered truck.
Let's stop out!
From across the street, the balding tailor shop owner watches a man roll the ball back to Rudy.
Dankeschön.
Rudy!
He faces the balding man.
What are you up to?
Nothing, Papa.
Then get to school.
Rudy grabs the ball and hurries off. Carrying uniformed soldiers, covered trucks move down the main street. Outside the school, red and white striped Hitler youth flags flank the entrance. Liesl gazes at the multi-storied building.
Come on.
Liesl remains still with an anxious gaze. Draped in a swastika pennant banner, Hitler's framed photo hangs above a blackboard. A stern woman eyes her students.
You are?
The entire classroom turns to Liesl. Rudy stands nearby.
Frau Hubermann's new daughter.
I was not addressing you, Steiner. Girl, speak.
Liesl Memminger.